Well, good morning and Merry Christmas to all of you. We're so glad that you've joined us on this Christmas day. My name is Miles Bennett, and it's a real privilege to be bringing you a message from God's Word this morning. Well, for many of us, this is a very different kind of Christmas. You know, it's one where travel to family is impossible, where much of what would normally characterize our celebrations just isn't able to happen. It's a Christmas where, as we reflect on the previous year, many of us just will feel weary and tired. With the global pandemic showing no signs of slowing down, I wonder, what do you hold on to? What do you hope in such times? As I was preparing for the message this morning, I was looking at my news feed, and it was full of many encouraging signs of vaccine treatments working for COVID-19. And this offers some real hope for me, and I'm sure many of us today. However, my question for us this morning is, what do you ultimately put your hope in? Sure, we hope and pray for a vaccine, but is our hope ultimately in our health, in our safety? Maybe you'd say your hope is in something else, something like closeness with family, maybe health or a successful career, maybe making a lasting difference in the world, or making a comfortable and better life for your children. While none of these things are necessarily bad, none answer ultimate questions. As one author puts it, you know, ultimately in 100 years' time from now, no matter what kind of life we've lived, no matter what we've done, all of us will be gone, will be dust in the ground. We need a hope that lasts longer than 100 years. I know what you're thinking. Miles, this is the worst Christmas Day sermon ever. What a downer. Well, before you turn this video off, there is a greater hope. There is a hope that goes beyond death itself. There's a hope that doesn't rely on anything we've done or we can do. It's the hope of a creator, God, coming as a baby into our world to save us. So today we'll look at Matthew chapter 1, 18 to 25. It's the story of Jesus' surprising birth. And what we'll see, and I think what Matthew wants us to see, is that Jesus is God with us. And so we can hope in him and be saved. Let's read the passage together and then we'll jump in. Open to Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. So just 2 points for us this morning: Jesus' identity and Jesus' mission. So let's look at Jesus' identity. Verse 18 says this: "This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother was pledged to be married, but before they came together, she was found pregnant through the Holy Spirit. So the first description we get about how this birth came was by supernatural means. When the angel appears to Joseph to tell him the truth about Mary so he doesn't leave her, the angel will repeat this truth. Joseph, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. That is, from God. So Joseph learns that he'll be Jesus' father, but only a father in a secondary kind of sense. The real father, we're told, is God himself, the creator, the sustainer of the entire universe. This is no ordinary birth. The claim here is that Jesus was not a normal baby. He was God in human flesh. But that's not all. Matthew also points to an even greater evidence to show that this baby is really God. Look at verse 22. Here he'll quote from another passage in Scripture, Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, a prophecy made long, long before Jesus came. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Matthew wants to show us that this has been pointed to a long time ago. What Isaiah perhaps, you know, didn't realize was how literally this was to be taken. To everyone's surprise, Jesus is God with us, because the human life growing inside the womb of Mary was a miracle done by God himself. This child was literally God. Not only is he God, but he's also fully human. Matthew doesn't say that Jesus was simply, appeared on earth. No, he was born by natural processes. At Christmas, the God of the universe took on flesh. He humbled himself to this birthing process. Why does Matthew want us to know that Jesus was also human? Well, the author in Hebrews says this: for this reason, he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, because he himself suffered when he was tempted. He is able to help those who are being tempted. Jesus, as a human, suffered. He experienced pain and even death. Author and pastor Tim Keller puts it this way: Christmas shows you a God unlike the God of any other faith. Have you been betrayed? Have you been lonely? Have you been destitute? Have you faced death? So has he. And therefore you can trust him. You can rely on him, because he knows and has the power to comfort, to strengthen, and to bring you through. Friends, God is not a cold and distant God who just demands obedience from his people. Look what he did at Christmas. Through Jesus, God came to us. He knows us. He can relate to us. What an amazing God. So Jesus is fully God, fully man, come as a lowly baby to be with us. But it begs the question, why? What does this mean for us? And this brings us to point number two, Jesus' mission. Why did Jesus come? Let's look at verse 21. Angel says, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Now, the angel spells it out quite directly what the purpose of this baby will be. The name Jesus, of course, is the Greek form of the word Joshua, a name literally meaning the Lord saves. His name describes what he's come to do. He's on a rescue mission. But rescue us from what? What do we need to be saved from? Matthew's answer is clear. He will save his people from their sin. The unpopular truth is that sin is a big problem. Not only a big problem, it is our biggest problem. You see, God has created every one of us. He sustains us. He gives us his breath to live. And yet our natural inclination is not to live according to God's way, but instead to live according to our own ways. The tendency is to prefer our own choices, to live our own lives instead of God's. And this is sin. It's a universal problem. The Bible will say all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There is a standard that God calls us to that none of us meet up. Not only that, but this is sin against a holy and a perfect God, a God who the Bible tells us cannot tolerate sin. How does God deal with it? The Bible will say the wages of sin is death, not just physical death, but a spiritual death, a death that separates us from God for eternity. If this is our reality, and the Bible says that it is, and no amount of effort on our part can fix it, and what's the solution then? How does Jesus plan to save us from this debt of sin that we owe the Creator of the universe? Well, the God of the Bible, he's infinitely holy and just. He doesn't just shrug off sin and evil, and we wouldn't want him to. But praise God, he is also a God of infinite love. He knows we could never climb up to him in our own power, and so at Christmas, he comes down to us. Tim Keller will say in that same book I mentioned earlier, this quote, "You know, God doesn't send someone else to help us. He doesn't send a committee report or a preacher to tell you how to save yourself. He comes himself to fetch us." Because Jesus is God, he was able to live the perfect life of obedience to God that we couldn't do, that we could never do. He humbled himself and allowed himself to be killed on a cross. He did this as payment for the judgment that we rightly deserved. Do you see what we're saying about the significance of Jesus' death? At the cross where Jesus died, he bore all of the world's sin. All of the rebellion, the disobedience, the guilt fell on his shoulders. We're the ones who should have died. I should have been punished. And yet, he was instead. He took our place simply because of his great mercy and his great love for us. What an amazing God. So what does this mean for us? Well, Christmas means for you and me that there is real hope. There is real hope for a broken and a suffering world beyond even a vaccine. The God who was made a baby has come, and he will save his people from their sins. How do we get in on this? How must we be saved? Well, here's what the Bible says in John 6:28. The people asked Jesus, "What are the things God wants us to do?" Jesus answered, "The work God wants you to do is this: believe the one he sent." Salvation isn't a matter of trying, but of trusting. It's not trying to prove that you deserve heaven, but accepting that you don't deserve it. You can be saved today by turning away from your self-reliance and relying on him instead, who forgives you fully and permanently, who will accept you because of his payment on our behalf. You know, this summer I spent a lot of time in the pool with my two sons, Wesley and Brooks. You know, Wesley is a pretty daring kid. Right away, he'll just jump in and go for it. He'll no fears about ducking his head under the water. You give him a floaty and he'll sit on it happily and swim all around the pool. But Brooks is a different story. You know, the moment he entered, he would cling to me and grab my arm in a death grip like his life depended on it. Even when we would give him a life vest or floaties or a tube to sit on, you know, unless I was right there next to him, keeping two hands on him so he could feel me, he'd scream and he'd fuss and he'd never go in the water. He relies on me. He trusts me as his father, way over and above any tube or floaty or vest. It's because I love him. It's because he knows that I love him, that he can trust me. Friends, Jesus invites you to rely on him, to trust him with your life. Christmas proves the depth of his boundless love for you and for me, and his desire to give us new life through Jesus. So what do you think of this Jesus? Who do you say that he is? Matthew has shown us his identity as the true God, as fully God and fully man. And he's shown us his mission to save sinners such as us. Particularly if you're watching this and you're not yet a Christian, as you go through this Christmas day and into the new year, what will your response be to him? Don't miss this chance to see Jesus for who he really is. You know, if a successful vaccine is rolled out, if everything goes smoothly and according to plan, it'll be great mercy from God. And let's hope for that. But don't miss our greater and more final hope that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And if we're turning away from living our own way and trusting in him instead, we can be assured that we will have his comfort and his help and his peace right now, and abundant life with him forever in eternity. Jesus is God with us. Hope in him and be saved. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for sending Jesus to our world at Christmas. We thank you for the permanent hope we experience because you reached down to us in love through your Son. We're thankful that in spite of the present suffering or pain we experience, that your death on our behalf means that those things are not final. We pray we would come to believe in Jesus, trusting in his payment of our sins, and living our lives in reliance on him alone. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.